On Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and we're up to Tanya Idach, and we're discussing exactly how much of Kriyat Shema you have to have Kavana, and this is about 8 lines down from the top. And we have now another Braisa, and it says in the parish of Kriyat Shema Vahayu, we'll emphasize that word, Hadvarim Ha'ela, and it means you have to read it as it is, Shelo Yikul Amafreya, that he can't read it backwards. And we discussed this yesterday, and we came to the conclusion that according to Rashi, you can't read it mamish upside down, one word, and then the word before it, and then the word before that. Alev Avecha, now the Pasuk says Alev Avecha, what is that teaching me? That you need Kavanas Halev. Here's the Machlokas, Rabbi Zutra Omer Ad Kan, meaning as far as the Parsha Rishon is concerned, Mitzvah Kavanah, Mikan V'Elech, Mitzvah Kriya, which means that in the balance, the two Parshias, you can just read it without kavana. Rabbi Yoshi Omer, Ad Kan Mitzvahs Kriya, Mikan V'Elech Mitzvahs Kavana. And the Gemara is going to have to explain Rabbi Yoshi, because this is a very paradoxical shita that the first parasha requires just Kriya, and then you need kavana. Why does it go like that? So again, according to Mar Zutra, we have this principle called Ad Kan Mitzvahs Kavana, Mikan V'Elech Mitzvahs Kriya. So the Gemara understands at this point in Mar Zutra that the first parsha doesn't require kriya. In other words, when it says Mikan V'Elech Mitzvahs Kriya, then you don't have to recite out loud the first parsha. All you need in the first parsha is kavana. You could be Mahar Baliba. All he has to think the thoughts in the first parsha. So Gemara asks, Maishna Mikan V'Elech, why do you say that as far as Vahayim Shamoa, etc., etc., you need a mitzvah kriya bepeh? And the answer is, Dichsiv L'daber Bam. It's Hachinami Haksiv. In the parsha Rishon, it also says V'Dibar to Bam. So why do you tell me Yotze with Kavana Saleh Bilvad? So the Gemara answers, well, you misunderstood Rabbi Zutra. Rabbi Zutra holds that even the first parsha needs kriya b'peh. But Hachi Kama, we're saying, Ad Kan Mitzvahs Kavana u'kriya. The first parsha you need not only kriya, but also kavana. Mikan V'Elech, in the second parsha and on, all you need is kriya. That's called kriya below kavana. U'mayishna Ad Kan. And if you'll ask me, why is it that the first parsha is different and it requires both Kriya and Kavana? And the answer is, the Chsiv, it says Alev Avecha, and also it says V'dibar to Bam. So that Alev Avecha in the first Pasha tells me you need Kavana, and V'dibar to Bam tells me you need a verbal recitation. In fact, the Gemara, I don't understand, Osanami, Chsiv in the second Pasha, it also says Alev Avchem, and it says L'daber Bam, so we should require both Kavanas Halev from Alev Avchem, as well as reading it out loud because of the Daber Bam. The Gemara answers, Ahu, that Pasuk Alev Avchem in the second parasha of Vayim Shemo, Mi Boilei Likin Rabbi Yitzchak, is teaching us the dinner of Yitzchak, the Omar of Yitzchak, the Samdemes Dvarai, Eile, Alev Avchem, Ukshatem Osam Liyose Edchem, that there's a mitzvah to put a parasha into the tefillin, and which parasha? It's this parasha, the second parasha. And from the words Alev Avchem, Tzricha Shetei Sima Keneged Alev, which means that the Hanochas Tefillin has to be Begova Hayad, it has to be higher up on the arm, Keneged Alev. And this we derive from the Pasuk Alev Avchem. As far as Kriyat Shema requiring Kavana is concerned, well, nowhere in the parasha do we have another source for the requirement of Kavana, and therefore all you need is Kriya, because of the Pasuk of L'daber Bam. This Pasuk of Alev Avchem is only relevant to Hanochas Tefillin, to tell me exactly where you have to put the Tefillin Shel Yad. Omar Mar, the Gemara now wants to clarify this opinion of Rabbi Oshia. If you remember, Rabbi Oshia had a paradoxical opinion, Ad Kan Mitzvahs Kriya, Mikan V'Elech Mitzvahs Kavana. So the Gemara says the following, Maishna Mikan V'Elech, what's unique about the second parasha? That it has a mitzvah Kavana Mishum Dechsiv, because the Pasuk Alev Avchem, and apparently he doesn't use Alev Avchem for tefillin, but rather for Kavana. It's Hachinami Ksiv, back in the first parasha it says Alev Avecha. And that should certainly generate a chiyuv of kavana. Hachi kamar. The Gemara answers, this is what Rabbi Yoshia had in mind, ad kan, in the first parasha, mitzvah kriya kavana. But mikan v'yelech, kavana below kriya. For the second parasha, you only need kavana, here alev, you don't need kriya at all, you don't have to read it out loud. So Maishnad Khan, why are you going to tell me that in the first parasha he needs Mrs. Kriya Ukavan to Ksiv Alev Avecha, and it says Vidibartabam. It's Achinami Aksiv, and the second parasha it says Alev Avchem Lidaber Bam, and therefore we should require both Kavana and Dibur. So the Gemara answers that according to the Sheet of Rabbi Oshia, who the Pasuk Lidaber Bam, which appears in the second parasha, is not coming to teach me that the kriya of the second parasha requires dibur b'peh, but rather b'divrei Torah k'siv. V'achikom harachmona. What's the Torah telling about limud Torah? V'limanetem osam es b'nech l'daber bom. What is l'daber bom? Agmeri v'naichu Torah ki eich d'likri subahu. Teach your sons Torah so that they will be able to speak in Torah. They'll always be able to read divrei Torah. And it, since it says v'limadetem, it means that l'daber bam is connected to limud Torah. Therefore, you don't ask a kasha. Well, maybe the opposite. V'dibarta bam in the first parasha should be related to divrei Torah, and v'dibarta bam in the second parasha require mir and kriyat shma. But you don't say that because here in the second parasha it says v'limadetem, so it's obviously related to Talmud Torah. So let's just quickly summarize the machlokas here between Rav Oshia and Rabbi Zutra. According to Rabbi Zutra, the conclusion that we came to is that whereas the first parasha of Kriya Shra requires a double requirement, both Kriya B'peh and Kavana, the second parasha only requires Kriya without Kavana. And Rabbi Yoshi is of the opinion that with regard to the first parasha you need both Kriya and Kavana, and in that sense Rabbi Yoshi agrees with Rabbi Zutra that the first parasha requires both Kavana and Kriya. But whereas Rabbi Yoshia thought that as far as the second parasha all you need is kriya below kavana, Rabbi Yoshia in contrast thinks that with regard to the second parasha all you need is kavana without kriya. Now we have an additional braisa that discusses kavana salev and kriya shma. Tosh ton rabbanon. In the first pasuk of kriya shma it says shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad ad kan tzricha kavana salev divrei Rabbi Meir. So whereas until now everybody seemed to agree that the first parasha certainly needs kavana salev, according to Rabbi Meir, only the first pasuk needs kavana salev. Omar Rav halacha k'Rabbi Meir, and Rav accepts the halacha k'Rabbi Meir. So let's just summarize. We have five sugyas, five different shittas as to how far you require kavana kriya. It's according to Rabbi Elazar, which we discussed on Amud Aleph in the previous Shia, you need Kavana in the first three Pesukim up to Alev Avecha. And then we have Rabbi Akiva who says you need Kavana for the entire first Parsha, and that is also the opinion of Rabbi Acha in the name of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Zutra and Rabbi Yochanan. Then we have the opinion of the Tanakama who disagrees with Rabbi Acha, and he holds that you need Kavana in all three Parshios. We have the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia that you need Kavana in the first parasha and in the second parasha. But as far as the second parasha is, all you need is Kavana. You don't need Amir B'peh. And then finally, you have Rabbi Meir who only requires Kavana in the first pasuk. Tanya. Now we have a brayso that discusses the word Echad. Subchus Omer kol marich be'echad marichin lo yomav ushnosav. So he should extend the word Echad. And actually, in the Mesoros, we have a Dalid in the word Echad that's a little bit larger, and that probably indicates that we should be Marech when we get to Echad with the Dalid at the end of Echad. Omar Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov Ubedalid Ubedelet. And that means that Sumchus had in mind that when we get to the last letter, that's when we should be Marech, not on the Ches, but on the Dalet. And since, as long as he hasn't begun to express the Dalet and enunciate it at the end of the Teva, then you haven't really heard from him that he's declaring the unity of God. So what good is being Marech in the Ches? You have to hear the Dalet, which completes the Echad, which means the unity of God, the oneness of God. But he shouldn't just swallow the Ches in such a way that he can't hear the Ches, because then he's not saying Echad. Rabbi Yirmi Avi Yasiv Kamei de Rabbi Chiyo Barava Chazia Dahavi Marech Tuva. Rabbi Yirmi noticed that Rabbi Chiyo was, you know, taking the word Echad and stretching it out. Omar Lei, he says, Kevan Di Amlechte Lemala Lemata Uliarba Ruchas Shmaim Sulo Tzrichas. So Rabbi Yirmiya set the record straight. How long do you have to be Marech on Echad? All you have to do is think of being Mamlech to accept the kingship of Hashem up in Shemayim, down in Oretz, for all the Ruchos of the Shemayim, Arba Ruchos, and that's about it. You don't have to go beyond that. And it would seem that he should be Mechavin in his Machshava for all these dimensions, whether it be Lamala, Lamata, whether it be Le'arba Ruchos Hashemayim, that's all part of his Kavan and his Machshava. However, the Rosh does quote a Yesh Omer who says that when he recites the word Echad, he should have a Remez Be'enov, he should sort of like raise his eyes towards Shemayim and lower him towards the Oretz and look around to the four Ruchos. And some, in the name of the Meiri, seem to have a minhag to actually move his head to the different sides, but that's not our minhag. Now we have another halacha regarding kavanas halev and kriyat shema. Omer Rabbi Nasan bar Mar Ukva, Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Even according to Beis Hill, who said back on Daf Yud Aleph that you could read the you could recite kriyat shema when he's osik b'malach, even when he's malach b'derech. But nevertheless, they agree that Aleph Avecha means be'amida, that even though he's on the road, he should stand in his place in order to recite Kriya Shema B'Kavana. If he's rushing on the way, it's hard to have this Kavana. So Gemara says, Aleph Avecha Salka Daitach. Are you really telling me that this pasuk is referring only to Amida? And only this pasuk needs Amida? Ela Ema, but rather we should interpret the entire parsha of Kriya Shema from the beginning until Aleph Avecha B'Amida Mikan V'Elech Lo. And this would seem to reflect that shita in the Tanoim, like Rabbi Eliezer Liel back on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, that the mitzvah of kavan is up to Aleph Avecha. It just applies to the first three psukim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kol Parsha Kula Bamida. If you're walking, you have to stop to recite the entire first parsha. V'yaz Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, the Amar Rava Bar Bachana, Rabbi Yochanan Lochik, Rabbi Acha, Shomer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, and we had this Liel, that the entire first parsha requires Kavanas Halev, and therefore you have to stand in order to have Kavanas Halev when you're on the road. Tanur Rabbanon, how did Rabbi Yehuda Nasi read Kriyat Shema? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Zu Kriyat Shema Shel Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was too busy teaching Torah. He didn't have time to stop and recite the entire parsha, and certainly not the entire three parshas of Kriyat Shema, and therefore all he read was the first pasuk. Amar Lei, so Rav turns to Rabbi Chiya, his uncle, and he says to him, "Lo chazeno lei l'Rebbe demekabel alei malchus shemaim." I never saw Rebbe being mekabel malchus shemaim being kori Kriyat Shema, because he began to teach his Talmidim even before the Zman Kriya Shema in the morning. And when he got to the Zman Kriya Shema, I didn't see that he was mafsik to read Kriya Shema. Amaleis, Rav Chiya responds, Bar Pachti is a name of a kinyan of kavod, I mean, you're the son of Gedolim. Maybe he didn't notice it, but at some point he would cover his eyes and he would recite the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema in order to be mekabel ol Malchus Shamayim. Let's understand that Rebbe doesn't disagree that the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema requires reading Kol Shloshes HaParashas. He was knowing to read only the first pasuk because he was Osek B'Torah, he was Torasum Naso, and he had a special status. And even those students who are Torasum Umnasum, they have to be mafsik from the Limud Torah for Kriyat Shema. And that's a Gemara in Shabbos. But that's only for the first pasuk, as far as the Torah is concerned. Now the Rosh says that Rebbe was a Malamed L'Rabim. And you're not mafsik for Kriyat Shema in the case of someone who's Malamed L'Rabim. And the Pnei Yoshua says that according to the Rashba, Rebbe would read the first pasuk, and only the first pasuk, because that's the Chiyuv Doraisa. But Rov Rishonim, amongst the Rabbeinu Yonah, hold that Rebbe read the entire first pasuk, because the entire first pasuk is a Chiyuv Doraisa, and in a Sefer, which is called Mili de Brachos, he was medayik from the Rashba that the entire lashon of the pasuk Shema Yisrael has to be read Rebbe, but not beyond. Let's point out that the Amidah halach that we just learned about, which we interpret according to Rashi, means for Kavana, according to the Rosh, the reason for Amidah is that it shouldn't be Derech Aroy. If he reads Kriyat Shema, recites it while he's walking, that's called Derech Aroy. That's not the way you read Kriyat Shema. And that's based on a sugya in Yuma, that there are certain dinim during the reading of Kriyat Shema, like you're not allowed to be Romis be'enov, meaning you shouldn't look like you're reading it b'derech haroy. The chashivas requires that you focus completely and you stand and you don't walk on the road. The Gemara now clarifies. Chosev Gomro Eino Chosev Gomro. What happened with Rebbe when he completed his study, his teaching with Talmidim? Did he go back and complete the Kriyat Shema Bar Kapara Omer Eino Chosev Gomro Shimon Rebbe Omer Chosev Gomro? So this is a machlokes. Again, Lechatchila, everyone agrees that you have to read the entire Kriyat Shema, but according to Bar Kapara, Rebbe didn't have to complete Kriyat Shema because once he completed his limud, it was already after Zman Kriyat Shema. Now, Rabbi Shimon Barebi holds that Chosev Gomra Kikorei Batorah, but not to be Yotzi the Mitzvah, the Chov of Kriyat Shema. And it would seem that even according to Rabbi Shimon Barebi, Rebbe, when he was Chosev to Korah, he would read it without its brachos. However, in Shittim Kubetzis, it says that according to Rabbi Shimon, Rebbe, when he was Chosev Korah, he would read it with the brachos. Amalei Bar Kapara L'Reb Shimon B'Rebi Bishleim L'Didi D'Amina Eino Chosev Gomra Hainet Bahad D'Rebi Ashmaita D'Isba Yitzis Mitzrayim. Rebbe on a daily basis would try to teach some halach, integrate into his curriculum for that day some halach that mentioned Yitzis Mitzrayim. And even though he would not recite the parasha of Tzitzis and the brach of Emes V'Yatziv, which are fully laden with Yitzis Mitzrayim, nevertheless he'd be sure to mention Halach and therefore be Mekayim Mitzvah Yitzis Mitzrayim. El Didach the Amid Chosev Gomra, according to you, that Rebbe would complete the three parashas of Kriyat Shema, Loma Leila Dure, why would he try to integrate into his learning Yitzis Mitzrayim if anyway he was Yitzis Mitzrayim by reading Kriyat Shema, and the third parasha of Kriyat Shema has Yitzis Mitzrayim in it? So the Gemara answers, even if Rebbe was Chosev Gomer to read Kriyat Shema later, nevertheless he would search and try to integrate some halach in Yitzis Mitzrayim, kedei la'asik Yitzis Mitzrayim bizmana. In other words, that we integrate the mitzvah of Yitzis Mitzrayim into Kriyat Shema. And since Rebbe didn't get a chance to recite the other parashiyos of Kriyat Shema, the three parashiyos of Kriyat Shema before the end of the Zman, therefore he would forfeit the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim, and that he didn't want to do, hence he would integrate the halacha. And this discussion here in the Gemara really reflects on the Rambam, who omits the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim. And I heard from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik that the reason for the Rambam's omission is that he considers Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim to be part of a greater mitzvah, which is Kriyat Shema. Now, before we mentioned that Rava paskens like Rav Meir, you don't need kavana beyond the first pasuk. Amar Rav Ila Barei the Rav Shmuel Bar Matna Bar Marta Mishmei the Rav Omar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He had kavana, and then afterwards Nenas B'Sheni fell asleep. So obviously, whatever psukim he read afterwards were without kavana yotza. He has fulfilled his mitzvah because he had kavana in the first pasuk, and that's the requirement. Amalei Rav Nachman l'doru avdei. Rav Nachman had a famous eved, Doro, who was quite learned, and he turned to his eved and he said to him, "If you see that I'm falling asleep in Kriyat Shema b'psuka kamatzaron, if I'm in the first pasuk, then wake me up, even if it's painful for me, because I have to recite the first pasuk b'kavana b'tfei. If I've already recited the first pasuk and I fall asleep, don't bother waking me." Amalei Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Rei Rav Derabba, Avuch Hechavi Ovid. What was the minhag of Rabbi, your father, with kavana Kriyat Shema? Amalei b'psuka kamavi komitzar nafshei. He would force himself to wake up during the first pasuk in order to mekayim kavana salei. But tfei lo avi mitzar nafshei. Beyond the first pasuk, he wouldn't be mitzar himself, even if he would read it without kavana. Amar Rav Yosef, prakton lo yikra Kriyat Shema. If a person is lying on his back with his face towards the Shamayim, he should not be reading Kriyat Shema in that position, because Kabbalah's Olmo Hashemayim has to be Derech Srara. And if he's lying back on his back, that's Gaivadik. That's not appropriate for the humility of Kabbalah's Olmo Hashemayim. You want to be Makabal the Ol of the Adon HaOlam, of the Melech HaOlam. So we're asking the question, Mikra Hudala Likri Hamigna Shapir Dummy. Are you telling me that he's allowed to sleep on his back? The problem is reciting Kriyat Shema Praknon. Rav Yeshua ben Levi, light means he cursed. Aman Degoni Aparkid. He was not in favor of lying down on your back and sleeping in that position. Why? Because if he has some sort of a koshi with one of his organs while he's sleeping on his back, as everyone will see it, that's derech k'nai. So you should be brought sanu about it. And we see from this that even lishon, even to sleep, not for kriyat shema purposes, you're not allowed to do this on your back. So Gemara answers, Amri, what are the bnei yeshiva going to say the following? Migna ki matzli shapir domi. To sleep, praknon. When he moves a little bit towards one side, so he gets that sneeze, is that's okay? That's allowed. But mikra to read Kriyat Shema, even if he's turning towards his side, afal gav matzli nami osur. Even if he's matzli, which is called in Hebrew muta, he's inclined a little bit towards the tzad. He's not allowed to read Kriyat Shema in that position. It's still considered derech. Gaivan, it's inappropriate for Kriyat Shema, for Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. So when I asked about Rebbe Matzli Bakari, Rebbe actually was lying on his back and he turned towards the side and he read Kriyat Shema. So when I say, Shiny Rebbe Yochanan, Debal Basar Havi. In other words, Rebbe Yochanan, for him it was very difficult to turn towards his side completely, and therefore, because he was a Baal Basar, he had Basar, he was a little bit overweight maybe, so therefore he was allowed to be Matzli Vakari, to read it Prakton, where he only inclines a little bit, which we're not going to allow, because that's considered Derech Gaiva to read Kriyat Shema and Kabbalah Sol Mishmaim in that position. But for Rabbi Yochanan, it's Mutter, because it's not considered Derech Gaiva, he has no choice. That's the only way he can do it physically. Now, we learned in the Mishnah that b'prakim, between one perek and another perek of Kriyat Shema, shoel, which means you're allowed to ask shalom in their covet, u'meshiv, divrei Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara asks, meshiv, machmas, mai. Who is saying shalom aleichem to him that he's meshiv? And Rabbi Meir allows you to be meshiv bein aprakim. Ilema, if it's a case with ne'a kavod, there's an adam nichbad, a person who's of great stature of dignity, and therefore you're allowed to respond to him. Is Hashta now Mishal Shoyl, if he's allowed to take the initiative and ask for Shalom because it's Bein HaProkim, is Adure Mi Boy? Was it necessary to tell him he was allowed to respond Mipnei HaKovid? If we said that you're already permitted, you're even permitted to be Shoel B'Shlomo, and that's because it's Kovod, then how much more so should you be allowed to be Meshiv Mipnei HaKovod? Because if you're not Meshiv Mipnei HaKovod, you know, you'll be insulting him. So again, if we're talking about Biprakim, meaning between the Prakim, and Rav Meir has already told me that you're allowed to take the initiative, and how much more so, it goes without saying that you're allowed to respond. So the Gemara says, with regard to this question, Ella Shoel Mipnei HaKovod Umeshiv Shalom L'Kol Adam. We're only going to allow you to take the initiative Bein HaProkim if it's Mipnei HaKovod for an Adam Nichbad. But as far as responding to someone, whoever asks you, whoever takes the initiative and says Shalom Aleichem, you're allowed to respond to him, otherwise they'll be insulted. And that's again Bein HaProkim. So the Gemara says, if that be the case, then Ema Seifa, how are we going to explain the rest of Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says, Be'emtza, we have to be more machmir, it's in the middle of a perek, Shol Mipnei Yira U'meshiv. And again, we're going to ask Meshiv Machmas Mai. Ilei Mipnei Yira is again, we have the same Kal V'chomer that we had before, Hashtav Mishal Shoyl, you're allowed to take the initiative, is how much more so in the case of Mipnei Yira. You're afraid of the repercussions. Adure mi boy, I have to tell you that you're allowed to respond. Ella, we're going to have to interpret the Seifa that in the case of Emtza, Shol Mipnei Yira, Imeshiv Mipnei HaKovod. That even if there's no Yira involved here, but there's an Odom Nichbad, you're allowed to respond even by Emtza. Again, we're not going to allow that in the case of Bein HaProkim. I'm sorry, we're not going to allow you to respond as we did in Bein HaProkim L'chol Adam, but at least you can respond to an Adam Nichbad. No, if that's the Pshat in Rav Meir, Hainu, the Rabbi Yehuda, that's exactly identical with the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Disnan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ba'em Tzashol Mipnei Yira, U'meshiv Mipnei HaKavod, U'biprokim Shol Mipnei HaKavod, U'meshiv Shol L'chol Adam. There's no machlokas now between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. They both say, Ba'em Tzashol Mipnei Yira, U'meshiv Mipnei HaKavod. And biprokim, you can take the initiative Mipnei HaKavod and you can respond to anyone. So Gemara answers that we're going to have to go back and assume that Meshiv, when Rabbi Meir said Meshiv, in terms of Bein HaProkim, that means Meshiv Mipnei HaKovod. And now you're going to ask me, well, there's no Chiddush, if Meshiv means Dafka Mipnei HaKovod, and we're talking about Bein HaProkim, because if he's allowed to be Shol Mipnei HaKovod, certainly how much more so he's allowed to be Meshiv Mipnei HaKovod. I'm going to answer to you, Chisurei Mechzera. There's part of the Mishnah that was omitted. V'hachi Toni, and this is the proper correct text of the Mishnah. Ba'prokim Shoel Mipnei HaKovod V'ein Tzarech Lomar Shu Meishim Mipnei HaKovod U'be'emtza Shol Mipnei Yira. So we're not going to allow you to take the initiative in Ba'emtza Mipnei HaKovod, but we'll allow it Mipnei Yira. V'ein Tzarech Lomar Shu Meishim Dibre Meir. And Meshiv here is Mipnei Yira. So that, according to this Girsa with Chisuri Mechzera, in Prakim, we're going to allow Mishum Kavod, whether it's to take the initiative or to respond. And Be'emtza, we're going to allow Mipnei Yira, whether it's to take the initiative or to respond. I'm going to add the Ein Tzarech Lomar Shu Meshiv. But Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell us that Be'emtza Shol Mipnei Yira, U'meshiv Mipnei HaKovod. Here's a heter that Rabbi Meir completely rejects, completely denies. Namely, an emtza Mipnei HaKovod, because according to Rabbi Meir, by emtza, all we have is Yira, we don't have a heter of Kovod. And here we turn to Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, U'biprokim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shoel Mipnei HaKovod, U'meshiv Shalom L'Kol Adam. When we get to Prokim, here's where Rabbi Yehuda is Mekil in Prokim. And he says, Bein HaProkim, you're allowed to be Meshiv, you can respond, L'chol Adam. We don't want to insult anyone, it's Bein HaProkim, whereas according to Rabbi Meir, the Bein HaProkim lowered us down to allow Mipne'akavod, but we always need Mipne'akavod. We never expanded it to Kol Adam. Tanya Nami Hachi, we also have a brisa to support this interpretation. Hakore Eshma Upogabo Rabo. So now we're talking about Mipnei Ha'ira. Oh, Godol Eminu Bechachma, or somebody who's greater than him Bechachma. And now we have the Shita of Rabbi Meir, Beprokim Shoel Mipnei Hakavod, the Ein Tzarich Lomar Shemeshim. Again, it's only a heter that's limited to Mipnei Hakavod, even though it's Beprokim. And by Emtza, where we could be more, where we have to be more careful and more demanding, is Shoel Mipnei Yira, we jack it up to Yira, the Ein Tzarich Lomar Shemeshim Mipnei Yira. But Kavod would not be a matir in the case of by Emtza. And certainly, when we have the greater matir Mnei HaKavod in Prakim, but that's only Mnei HaKavod, but not L'chol Adam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ba'emsa Shol Mnei HaYira, U'meshiv Mnei HaKavod. Which means that in the case of Ba'emsa, we have to be more demanding, is we're going to have a higher jackup level, we're only going to allow you Mnei HaYira. But as far as Meshiv is concerned, not to insult somebody, we're going to allow it Mnei HaKavod. But Prakim, Shalom Ibn HaKavod, Umeshiv Shalom L'Kol Adam. Hence we have a two-way machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to have a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in Prakim, and we're going to have a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in Ba'emsa. With regard to Prakim, Rabbi Meir is going to be very stingy. He's only going to allow it Ibn HaKavod. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow, in the case of Meshiv is Kol Adam. That's as far as Prakim is concerned. As far as Emtza is concerned, again we have a machlokas, because Rabbi Meir is going to be very stingy. In the case of Emtza, he's only going to allow a situation of Yira, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds by Emtza, although you can only be shol and take the initiative in the Yira, but Meshiv Mipnei HaKavod, that's an expanded head there. So Rabbosai, here's where we're going to stop for today on Daf Yudalad Amin Aleph, and in Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow we'll pick it up at Boy Minei, Achi, etc.